Trigger warning. The following episode may contain content that some may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. In the charming waterside community of Amityville, a young man becomes increasingly violent and angry, especially towards his father. His threats become reality on November 13, 1974, when he loads a gun and murders his whole family in cold blood. The crime that inspired the Amityville Horror. This is the story of Ronald DeFeo Jr. Ronald DeFeo Jr. was born in Brooklyn, New York on September 26, 1951. He was the oldest out of five children. His father, Ronald DeFeo Sr., was a successful car salesman, and everyone called him Big Ronnie. Ronald Sr. did well for himself and his family, but it was his father-in-law who had the big bucks. He owned the Brooklyn Buick dealership that Ronald Sr. worked at. Ronald Sr.'s wife, Louise, always dreamed of being a model, but chose to settle down with Big Ronnie, even at her own parents' disapproval. They were not a fan of the match and even chose to not have anything to do with the couple until they had their first baby, Ronald Jr. Then came Dawn in 1964, Allison in 1961, Mark in 1962, and finally John in 1965. They ended up leaving their small apartment in Brooklyn behind and moved into a stunning home on the water in Amityville. It was confusing to people how somebody could afford such a lavish home on the water with a car salesman's salary. But Louise's father purchased the home for them. This allowed the family to grow up upper middle class. The DeFeo family was well liked, but like everybody else, behind closed doors, they had their fair share of problems. Ronald Sr. was abusive towards his wife, even causing her to leave him once, but she ended up returning to him, not wanting to leave her family behind. But he was particularly nasty with Ronald Jr. because he was his firstborn son. He had expectations for him that Ronald was not living up to. As Ronald Jr. grew up, he was nicknamed Butch. He was terribly overweight, and the children at his school would often pick on him for his size. In his late teen years, he began to use amphetamines and LSD, and the drugs caused him to drop the weight. The bullying had died down since he was slimmer, but his anger only increased. As he grew, he became increasingly violent, especially towards his father. His parents became worried about his cruel behavior, and they set him up to see a psychiatrist. But he refused the help from the psychiatrist, and it only made him more frustrated. His parents were not sure what to do or how to help. So they started just loading him with gifts, hoping to make him happy enough that maybe if he got things that he wanted, he would just be nicer. They bought him boats, cars, and other sizable gifts. His father also gave him a job at the dealership that had zero responsibility or attendance requirements, but still would give him a weekly pay. He would then turn around and funnel that money into guns, drugs, and alcohol. Ronald Jr.'s vicious behavior grew and grew. A friend of Ronald Jr.'s recalled going on a hunting trip with him, and the two boys had gotten into an argument over something juvenile, but Ronald Jr. turned his gun on his friend and threatened to kill him over the disagreement. After the heat between the two had died down, Ronald acted like nothing had ever happened. Another time, he held a shotgun to his father's stomach, point blank, and threatened to kill him during an argument that they were having. He pulled the trigger on the gun, but it malfunctioned. Ronald Sr. could not believe that his son would have actually killed him. He just assumed maybe it was the drugs or alcohol, not really knowing just how far his son would take his murderous behavior. In 1974, Ronnie Jr. was fed up with his job, feeling he was being underpaid for the no work he was doing. He wanted more. He plotted to embezzle money from his grandpa's car dealership. That October, the dealership needed to deposit $20,000 to the bank. Ronald Jr. volunteered himself, acting as though he wanted to be a more hands-on employee and have more responsibility. He had created a plan with a friend, and they fabricated a robbery. They had planned to split the money once it was said and done. The plan went smooth, without a hitch. But when the dealership reported it to the police, they came to ask Ronald Jr. some questions about the robbery. Instead of playing it cool and trying not to seem suspicious, Ronald Jr. explodes in a fit of rage at the police for questioning him. They are obviously seeing the red flags here, and they ask him to come to the station so they can talk more about what happened with the robbery. But he refuses to cooperate with police. His dad finds this odd and begins to suspect his son of committing the crime as well. When Ronald Sr. asked his son about the money, Ronald Jr. says, "If you ever mention it again, I'll fucking kill you." That following month, on November 13th, 1974, Ronald Jr. was up late, drinking and watching TV. At around 3:30 a.m., he goes into his room where he has a secret stash of guns. He pulls from a box a .35 caliber Marlin rifle. He walks down the hallway of his family's magnificent Amityville home. He steps into his parents' bedroom where they are fast asleep. He shoots his father twice, then turns the gun on his mother and shoots her twice. He walks down to his brother's room. He shoots John, 9 years old, once in the back, lying face down in his bed. Then Mark, 12 years old, once in the back, laying face down in his bed. He goes upstairs and into his sister's room, where he shoots Allison, 13, point blank, in the back, laying face down in her bed. He then shoots Dawn, 18, point blank, in the back, laying face down in her bed. The murders took about 15 minutes total. There was no sign of a struggle from the family. They were all shot laying face down in their beds, still in their pajamas. Ronald Jr. then went downstairs, cleaned himself up, took a shower, put on some fresh clothes, and got ready for work. He collected his bloody clothes and the gun and shoved them into a pillowcase. He then discarded it into the waterway behind his house. He went into work at 6 a.m. and played his part well. He called his father several times and acted concerned that he had not shown up for work that day. How out of character for his father. He ended up leaving work early, saying that he was bored. Very in character for Ronald Jr. And he went to go hang out with some of his friends. At about 6 p.m. that night, he comes rushing into a local bar called Harry's. He begins to yell for help, telling the people in the bar that his whole family had been shot. A few of the bar folk go with Ronald Jr. back to his house. He refuses to go inside, saying he just cannot see that again. But the others go in and confirm the horrible truth that all of the DeFeo family, except Ronald Jr., was dead. One of the men phoned the police from inside the DeFeo's home. When Suffolk County police arrive, Ronald Jr. tells police that he was watching TV and could not sleep, so that he decided to just go to work early. He tells police that he thinks that his family was still alive when he left that morning. He says he'd been trying to contact his father all day since he had missed work, but he was unable to reach him. He says he then came home and the door was locked. He broke the window and climbed inside to discover the ghastly scene. He tells police he thinks it was a mafia hitman that he had pissed off once, a man named Louis Fellini. Police put Ronald Jr. into protective custody. They are worried that somebody might be trying to find him and kill him as well. But as investigators begin to search the house, they find the box for the .35 caliber Marlin rifle still in Ronald Jr.'s room. Police start to put two and two together. They know that the DeFeos are still in their beds, still in their pajamas. They couldn't have been killed in the middle of the day after Ronald Jr. would have left for work. They would have had to have been killed in the early morning hours, which puts Ronald Jr., the one at home during the time of the murders. Ronald Jr. is asleep on a cot at the police station, still in protective custody, when they wake him up. They start to question him about what they found in their search, and he then changes his story. He tells police that Louis Fallini had actually come to his house early that morning with another man, and they put a revolver to his head. The two dragged him from room to room and made him watch as he killed all of the members of his family. But the more Ronald Jr. talked, the more his story unraveled. And he eventually broke and told police. Once he started killing, he just couldn't stop. He said it went so fast. The trial for the murder of the DeFeos began almost a year later on October 14, 1975. His defense attorney, William Weber, attempted an insanity plea, saying that Ronald Jr. heard voices, and those voices told him to kill his whole family. The psychologist for the prosecution, Dr. Harold Zolin, proved this to be false. He told the court that Ronald Jr. suffered from antisocial personality disorder. It made him aware of his actions, but they were motivated by a self-centered attitude, so he didn't see it as wrong. The story inspired a paranormal horror story of how DeFeo was actually possessed. There are a lot of interesting theories surrounding this case, but one thing that I find odd is that all of the members of his family were shot, and they were all laying face down in their beds in their pajamas, no sign of struggle. Did they not hear the gunshots going off? Did they not try to get up to run and hide? Why would there have been no sign of a struggle? Ronald Jr. says that the whole paranormal story is a joke and that it never actually really happened. He says he never heard voices and he was never possessed, that he just killed his family for whatever reason. The people who moved into the Amityville home after the incident are the ones who came forward about all of the paranormal stuff that was occurring in the home. They would report blood and green ooze leaking from the walls, that there were voices yelling, male voices yelling throughout the night. There are a ton of different paranormal instances that they would report, and it would even go so far to turn it into a whole entire story. The story is so horrifying that it became a sensation. Ronald Jr. died on March 21st of 2021 at the age of 69, but his cause of death has never been released to the public. Thank you for listening. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram to catch sneak peeks of upcoming episodes, behind the scenes, and more.